Coming to you from various places around the world, this is the Global Exhibitor Podcast, the podcast designed to help exhibitors succeed internationally.
Speaking the same language, the difference between the UK and the US trade shows are unbelievable. Even little things like, you guys have the pipe and drape. That doesn't exist in the UK. The first time I saw that, I honestly couldn't believe my eyes. I thought, what is this design?
Your host for the Global Exhibitor Podcast is Jeff Hanna, a designer, entrepreneur, business strategist, industry thought leader, and student of world cultures based in the United States. Here's your host, Jeff Hanna.
Well, hello everyone. We're broadcasting today from London with our special guest, Miss Chloe Richardson. Chloe is a linguist and a sales strategist within the exhibition and trade show industry globally. She speaks about five or six languages and teaches language. She also works in the exhibition and trade show industry, specializing in sales strategy, rebooking, sales team support, business development, client engagement, the customer journey, and process management. And she also does translation work on a pretty regular basis. Chloe's home base is in London, where she is today, but Chloe works in a diverse array of industries across the world, including Europe, North America, Russia, Eurasia, China, India, Southeast Asia, Africa, basically everywhere. Chloe holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in French and Portuguese from the University of Southampton in the United Kingdom. And a bit of secret about Chloe that I happen to know is that she spent a significant amount of her time working in the entertainment industry. She's a very talented vocalist, pianist, and actress. Chloe is just super talented, extremely articulate, and just fun to be around. You're going to really enjoy this interview. Chloe shares lots of great insights with us across this three-part series. We're going to be focusing on the importance of language in relation to travel and to the trade show and exhibition world in general. She will also be talking about cultural differences, travel tips, how to engage with strangers, how to create trust and respect, perceptions across borders, and developing a better understanding of the audience you're trying to reach or engage with. There's some really great stuff here. So let's get into part two of my interview with Chloe Richardson on the Global Exhibitor Podcast.
You've been in the trade show industry for some time and working on the event side of things, and a lot of what you've been doing and what you've been specializing in that regard, trying to help people, you know, rebook for shows, looking at, you know, where they're going to be positioned in a hall, let's say, or things like that. So can you talk a little bit about more professional pursuits in that regard?
No, of course. So I started off in the trade show industry actually translating, funnily enough, for French clients who were attending UK trade shows and who felt that they would be, they'd have more an advantage of speaking to potential buyers if they had a bilingual English person on their stand. And so that's kind of how it started off. And then gradually through time, I started actually working as a freelancer on behalf of the event organizers themselves, like you say, rebooking on site, getting people to commit to attending the show for the following year, but also working on a lot of the customer journey, improving customer relations, giving them the best stand that they could get, additional sponsorship opportunities. So I did that as a freelancer for a little while. And then I was asked to set up to be one of the founding members of a company who specialized in that, in rebooking particularly. And with that sort of came on new skills, which I had to learn. So then I then went into coaching and how to actually coach internal sales teams to communicate as effectively as possible with their clients on site to produce the best results. And then with that came sort of the sales consultancy angle, which is what I focus on now, really. And that's just liaising with event organizers, exhibition organizers, associations, anyone who runs a trade show or a B2C show, on how they can maximize their results on site, post-show, pre-show. And it's really interesting, actually, because with that, I've had the luxury of, obviously, not only visiting all these countries in the world, but also all the different industries. And you get to see so much from the inside of a trade show, and you learn so much, and you end up becoming sort of a jack of all trades. I mean, I've done shows in construction, in swimming pools, in coil winding, fashion, gift, fintech. And it's absolutely amazing because you then find you can talk about so much stuff to people because you've experienced it all, just the 3 days on site. Now what I'm primarily doing is I work mainly in Europe at the moment, but I do have a few bits in the US as well, where I will go to an exhibition organizer and sit with them and basically help them come up with the best way for them to communicate and sell to their clients. And then I do it for them, show them how it's done, or do it with their team. And then I kind of go. I help them do the best job they can, and then I leave again. But it's really, really interesting, and you get to meet some amazing people. And funny as well, the trade show industry, everybody knows each other. And actually, as an industry, I think we're really quite friendly. You know, even competitor shows or competitor companies, actually, we all want the industry to thrive and do well. So it works really nicely with stand building companies, with your marketing companies. I find we all come together, and it's kind of a really lovely event trade show family. But what I've also found is that everyone is at such a different place, particularly with the way that they do sales and particularly with the way that they communicate with their clients. And that's been really interesting for me to see. And I think having the languages there is really helped, because it gives you that flexibility to adapt the way that you communicate, not just in terms of the actual physical language you're using, but it's all about developing that language and also being able to form a connection with somebody, whether that's an exhibitor on site or whether it's an event organizer themselves, because you've learned that there are so many ways to communicate that aren't just verbally. So yeah, it's been a really interesting professional journey, and it's kind of, it all stemmed from the languages in the first place. I never expected I would end up in the event world, but now that I'm there, I love every second of it. And I really think, and you probably agree, every single day you learn something new. Every single day you get to meet somebody who comes along and sort of changes your life and teaches you something. And you learn about the industries, you learn about the countries, you learn about even the venues themselves, how they operate. It's kind of, there's a wealth of information to get from this industry, and I'm absolutely proud to now be a part of it. So I feel really lucky that I managed to, that languages have led me here.
It is amazing. And I came to it from a different angle altogether, from being a designer and, you know, doing project management and design and all of that for a lot of major brands in the U.S. who are starting to go abroad. Wished so much that I had more of that ability. That would have helped me a lot. And I haven't given up on that, of course, but it would have helped.
Never too late, Jeff. It's never too late.
Yes, that's true. What is it that you think that most companies are doing wrong when they're exhibiting or doing an event?
The exhibitors themselves, the thing that I've probably noticed as the most important is, I think sometimes they think, right, I've reserved my booth at this show. I'm going to go. I'm going to have great ROI. I'm going to go home and I'm going to be a millionaire. Now, of course, that can happen. You can meet a great lead on site, but it's kind of, it takes a lot of work from the exhibitor's side as well. You can't just turn up to a show and expect to be successful. You've got to make sure that you send out your invites. You've got to make sure you market your presence. You've got to make sure, like you say, the stand design is so important. It needs to be welcoming. It needs to showcase your products. And the biggest pet hate that I have, and so many people are guilty of this, I will walk around a trade show and I will see multiple exhibitors sat down at their table, head down, on the computer, on a phone. Now, if you are a visitor to that show, why would you want to speak to that person who's clearly closed themselves off? It's almost as though saying, look, I paid the money for my booth, here I am, come and talk to me, I'm not going to make any effort. And I think that's the same, because you've paid the money to go there, you've paid for the hotels, the travel, whatever, everything else. You've got 3 days. Like, be approachable, smile, actually talk to people walking past, engage with them on not just a sales level, engage with them on a, what is it you're here to do at the show? What are you looking for? Can we help? If not, maybe I can help you with something else. I can recommend a great place for dinner. You know, like little things that you can just drop into conversation, but it's all about being open to it. And I honestly can't understand why somebody would spend so much money on attending a show and then sitting at a table, not even watching or looking at people that walk past. And that's particularly a thing that we do in the UK. And in fact, I've noticed in the States, it's a little bit different. I think you guys are a bit more engaging.
I don't know. I've seen plenty of it at shows in the U.S., and it tends to be the case more on smaller exhibits, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's psychological or what, but if you have a, you know, a 10 by 10 foot or a 3 by 3 meter booth, you know, the feeling is, oh, I have to go work the trade show. I don't want to go anyway. Just going to try to check emails while I'm here, whatever. And I hate standing up all this time, whatever it might be. But it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, you put little into it and you get little out of it. You're in a bad location in the hall, all of that. And you're like, oh, the traffic, nobody really is coming by. And of course, then they don't stop at all. Well, the other thing people do is they often put the table right across the front of the stand. Yeah. And then they just totally block the space off. It's like there's nowhere to go into. There's no enter into the booth or anything like that. It's just walk by the aisle, you know, in the aisle, and you never really engage with people.
No, that's it. And you know what? I genuinely believe it's not the size of your stand, because like you say, you've got your 10 by 10s or your 30 by 30s. If you don't maximize the use of that space, you could have the whole room and you'd get no footfall. And I genuinely believe it's the second that you put your head down and the second you are not invested in the reason why you came in the first place, you're going to completely lose all that potential business. And only one buyer can make the difference. One buyer can make you justify the amount you pay for that show and the next 10 shows that you do. But if you don't open yourself up to the opportunity, it's not going to come. And sometimes I'll walk past on day one, I'll see an exhibitor who's looking particularly low and I'll say, what's up? And they'll say, we've not had great footfall. So what I'll do with them, I'll sort of help them maybe rearrange their booth, perhaps if they haven't had this done sort of professionally beforehand. And then I'll take a photo with them for their Instagram and we'll put some hashtags on there. And already you see that they start to brighten up and they start to feel more invested in it. And then you'll see them on day two and they'll say, oh, we've had a brilliant second day. We've had loads of people on our stand. And like you say, it's completely a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you write it off at the beginning, it's never going to succeed. You're there, so why not enjoy it? And you'll find the days go so much quicker when you're engaging with people. You meet some really exciting people. You get to talk about other stuff, not just business. Whereas if you're sat at a table looking miserable, that is going to drag. You're going to have the worst time. So whilst you're there, why not open yourself up, have fun, enjoy it, and have good conversations? And that's kind of the biggest thing that gets me down about certain exhibitors. I just think, you're here. Why are you not, like, getting involved? And even doing crazy, like, guerrilla marketing. You know, some people have great immersive experiences on your stand, and it doesn't have to cost a lot. It's just about being creative and thinking outside the box. Underused. Again, it's like what I said in the first place. People think they've paid the money, they're going to turn up, and they're going to have a great show. Yeah, sometimes that works. But actually, really, you have to put some groundwork in, and you might as well, because it's beneficial for everybody, especially the person on the stand. Like, enjoy it.
You're making the investment, and why not maximize it? There's a friend of mine who's Dutch, and he's an author and speaker, and he does a lot of booth staff training. A very dynamic guy. His name's Han Leenhouts. And he says, you know, I've never heard anybody complain because somebody talked to them on the trade show floor. It's not like a cold sales call where, you know, you get a call at your home or whatever. I mean, these people are going to the show to learn, to hear about new products, to meet and network, and all the reasons that we know you go to a show. I just find it interesting, though. He says nobody ever complains that you talk to them, you know, at a trade show. Like, that's why they're there.
Exactly. They are the warmest leads you could ever possibly have. They have come to the show with the view of being interested in whatever product it is that you are representing. So if you don't jump on that, like, you're in the wrong business. You might as well go and do something else. And I know it's quite harsh to say, but like, you've got an open pool of people who are willing to be sold to. So use it. Go crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of your engagement with different people around the world, which country or culture do you think you've had the most difficulty negotiating with or getting to form relationships with on the show floor?
There are some obvious sort of hurdles. You know what? It's also interesting because it comes from the sort of gender angle as well, because I do think that obviously sometimes the barrier is the language, but often the barrier is the gender and the way different cultures you different genders. With regards to the gender thing, I think it's interesting because in the UK, many businesses are used to dealing with either a man or a woman. It kind of, I feel like it makes no difference. And I see that trend in Western Europe as well, especially outside of Western Europe. There are visible differences with the way that people feel they should be dealt with in terms of a corporate environment. In India, for example, I think in the trade show industry especially, most of the major players, most of the directors and the decision makers are men. In fact, I don't think I've ever visited a stand in India where the decision maker who's able to sign off that contract is a woman. And therefore, automatically that makes it a slightly more difficult conversation because they're confused as to why they're being approached by a woman in the first place. And kind of that changes the conversation. And that's interesting because India, they speak English. So actually it's not a language problem whatsoever. It's a different cultural, and it's not even an issue. It's just the way that we know that different cultures are. And a lot of people say to me, oh, do you not find in Eastern Europe, it's really difficult to do business. And actually I find it the opposite. I've had sort of the least backlash from being a woman in places like Russia, where they are literally on site to do business and they don't really seem to care who they do business with. They're very frank. They don't shake your hand. They don't mess around. It's kind of like yes or no, move on. And I've found that about Eastern Europe very refreshing and slightly surprising. And then you've got sort of when you go to the US shows, it's completely different where everyone is so friendly. You end up talking to somebody for 3 hours and realizing you haven't talked about sales or business at any point, which can actually deter your objective a lot of the time. But it's not a deterrence that we mind. But you do find, especially when I've done a few shows in Texas, I end up talking to people for hours and hours about condiments and different like spices that they put on their meat, and then I get to the end of the day and I think, oh no, that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. I was supposed to be talking about business and stand sizes and things. But you find that sort of, especially in the US, the energy is so infectious that actually it can slightly stray you from the target. But it's everywhere you go, the reaction is completely different, and you do have to, even greetings. I did write a blog last year, which was about the different ways that people greet each other and how it can make such a difference to the sales conversation, even from how many hands you put on your business card when you pass it over. Or like I said, in Russia, they will not shake your hand with you unless they know you. And actually the way to put somebody off in a sales conversation is to go in with a handshake. But as a Westerner, you would assume that that's the first thing that you do. And I think it's key to sort of know what these are before you step foot in that corporate environment, because it can make or break a sale. I'm trying to think of some other ones. I think obviously the French, as many people know, depending on what region you are, if you know somebody sort of well, then you'd go in for a certain amount of kisses, but it depends where you are. In some parts of Paris, you have 4 kisses. In the south of France, it's 3, but in other places, it's 2. And so that can lead to some quite awkward situations where you don't know how many times you go for the kiss. It's business conversations all over the world are so different. And some of the countries, and you probably experienced this as well, Jeff, they're so hospitable when you go to their booth. You end up having to eat with them and drink with them. And you wouldn't typically get this in Europe because people don't really, they see that as time wasting, I think, in the UK especially. They wouldn't sort of offer you drink or food really, unless they really wanted a long chat. But when you're in India or China, it's kind of, for them, it's normal. And they think, great, you're here for a business conversation. Let me get you a 3-course meal whilst you're at my booth. And that's lovely and really nice to see. And something that was quite surprising when I first ventured into that area of the world for business. They're just so hospitable. And in the South America, they're really similar as well. So it's really interesting, sort of the differences between doing business all over the world in the trade show industry, for sure.
Sometimes we'll have some food in the US, but in Europe, you know, you'll often have a bar and you'll have some kind of snacks anyway, or have coffee service or whatever. I interviewed a friend, Kathy Welsh from Display Builders Australia, recently on the podcast, and she talks about how important it is to have the right kind of coffee at your stand in Australia. And it's like, it has to be just the right quality of coffee, and people kind of work out like who has the best coffee. I do think hospitality has its role to play. And in some countries, it's much more relational than it is transactional, where, okay, let me scan your badge and take your card and we'll get back to you with some literature or whatever. So it depends. I think it depends on the industry, depends on the size of the show, the pace of it. Do you have time to sit and have a chat? In a lot of countries, I've found generally they do. People want to have a little bit of a, let's sit down and get to know you. And they have casual seating often when we're designing exhibits. Mm-hmm. For many places, we do put some casual seating or tables, bistro tables, things like that. But I think that does certainly have a role.
No, it definitely does. And I think actually in the UK, we're kind of the worst for hospitality in so many ways, because we'll, as of standard, say, oh, do you want a drink? But actually, it's very much business focused, and it's kind of like, right, we're not here to waste time, let's just chat about business. And I personally love it when I'm working at a trade show in the UK and I have a few US exhibitors, because I go over and automatically I'm like, can I sit down? And like, absolutely, come on in. And I was going to try and do an American accent then, and I thought I'd really embarrass myself, so I didn't do it. But yeah, so they really, and it's so nice to have that sort of that American warmth when you're in a UK trade show in Birmingham, Jeff, and it's sort of 2 degrees outside and raining, and you see a lovely American face and you think, yay, I'm going to chat to you for hours. Hooray. So yeah, it's interesting, especially obviously speaking the same language. The difference between the UK and the US trade shows are unbelievable. Even little things like, you guys have the pipe and drape.
Yep.
That doesn't exist in the UK.
Right.
And the first time I saw that, I honestly couldn't believe my eyes. I thought, what is this design? And now I've realized that actually it promotes sort of like the sociable aspect. It promotes the community and the industry. And I think that probably boils down to the fact that associations organize so many of your events. And so that it is all about the industry and the community. Whereas in the UK, it's the high walls. People don't speak to their neighbors. And that for me was normal. But since working in the US, I really like the pipe and drape system. I mean, it's interesting, and it really does promote that kind of spirit of, we're all in it together, and let's chat and let's shout over the booth next to us.
Yeah.
It's quite nice. I quite enjoy that atmosphere.
Yeah, well, like you talked about before, I mean, the industry, on one hand, it's a big world, but it's small in many regards. I mean, the trade show industry is kind of a close knit, and you've developed rapport with people who are on the trade show floor, and you're all working together to get the show built beforehand and all that. So it's a lot of fun, I think. I always tell people the trade show industry is like quicksand. Once you fall into it, you can't seem to get out.
I know. So.
So what about food? As you're traveling, from what I recall anyway, you have a broad liking to food, and you'll try different things. Is that right? Or are you more conservative?
It's quite a funny question. And if my mum hears this, she's going to laugh quite a lot, because actually growing up, I am the pickiest eater. There are things that my mum tried to make me eat when I was 6 that I will categorically not go near. So things like shepherd's pie, lasagna, loads of things which most people find really normal. However, Jeff, if you put me in a restaurant in India and tell me I'm eating snake with like spice level 3000, I will eat it. And so that's kind of the mad thing. I don't like ordinary food at all. Just give me a cheese sandwich, I'm good. But if you throw me in like a culinary sort of mystery, an enigma that I've never heard of before, it looks a bit mad, then I'm absolutely going to eat that. And that's also another thing that sort of, especially going around trade shows, I mean, you get offered all these bits and bobs, like we said, about hospitality on the stands, and you get to try. The amount of times I've had insects, you know what, I don't mind that, and that's okay, and it's all part of the experience, and it tastes quite good. But yeah, no, so it's funny that you asked that question. Many people would think I'm very fussy, and I am, and I have been, but when it comes to something crazy, then I'll absolutely try it and probably love it. So, and I have in a lot of these countries. So it's been an experience. You know, the best thing I probably actually ate was in Texas. I had it, it was some kind of, you might know better than me about what this was. It was like a special, like, pecan something, like rib or something. It was like glazed in pecan. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, no, but I don't know. I thought you were going to say pecan pie.
Which no, is, it wasn't. It was meat covered in pecan. And we don't even say pecan in England. So we say pecan. Yeah. So at first I was like, what do you mean pecan? I don't even know what that is. But And I'm trying it. And it was kind of one of the most outrageous things I've ever eaten. It was really good. But you learn so much about things that ordinarily you'd never touch upon if you were on holiday in a country, because you're really getting into the nitty gritty, aren't you? So you kind of have to throw yourself in the deep end and be like, yes, I'll eat your food. And yes, I'll talk your language. And yes, I'll go and visit the places you recommend, because you have to, because you've got to do it properly. But you really get to see a different side of a place. And the pecan ribs, I think they were pretty good. And if they're listening, the guys gave me that in Texas, in Houston. Thank you very much. You educated me with that. So.
That's great.
Thank you, Chloe, for joining us on the podcast. This has been part 2 of a 3-part interview with Chloe Richardson on the Global Exhibitor Podcast. Stay tuned for part 3 coming up soon. If you haven't yet listened to part 1, please be sure to check that out as well. If you want to reach out and connect with Chloe, you can find her on LinkedIn, Chloe Richardson, or you can get her email address from our show notes here on the podcast.
We like to remind people that all business is conducted within the context of culture. So each episode provides insights to help marketers understand the cultures they're trying to reach and strategies for building bridges across cultural divides. If you like the Global Exhibitor podcast, please share it with others, subscribe to it, and rate it on iTunes. We greatly appreciate the feedback. Please also check out our website and blog at www.globalexhibitor.com. And finally, if you or someone you know would make an interesting guest on this podcast, please let us know by sending an email to guest@globalexhibitor.com. And until next time, thank you for listening.